This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is season 3, episode 95. What is going on with the Cubs organization? Don't forget to listen, download, review, most importantly, subscribe to this podcast. Follow on the socials, Fly the W670, Twitter, Instagram, Fly the W on Facebook. Email us, flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, so we're seeing other teams spend money. Specifically, when I woke up this morning, I saw that the Dodgers invested another $150-plus million in an excellent pitcher. But it's deferred, and I think we need to talk about that at some point today.
Yeah, some of it is deferred. And you know, Dustin, I mean, any team can do it. We have Bob Nightingale that's going to be on the show. He talks about how the Nationals did that a lot. They're still paying Steven Strasburg. The Cubs are still paying Jason Hayward this year. So, you know, it happens. Teams can do it. Anyone's able to do it. So whether there needs to be a rule or something, I'm not sure. But it's within the rules.
But it doesn't seem like many people are taking advantage of it. And I guess then the question is, why aren't the Cubs taking advantage of that? There's number 50 on your list of questions at CubsCon, Crowley. Tom, why are you not deferring money?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom has gotten smarter in as he's owned the Cubs. He doesn't meet with the fans. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I know. I keep telling them that people like that.
Well, they know people like it. They also know that they're going to get very difficult questions. And you know, that's kind of, you know, a lot of what this episode is about. I mean, look, as fans, we're always going to grumble about ownership not spending or being cheap. Doesn't matter if it's the Bears or the Bulls or the Cubs or whoever. The Reinsdorfs will, you know, it always kind of is a good villain, right, in sports talk. But, Dustin, right now for the Cubs, it's not just the fans, but you're starting to hear national beat writers and other people around baseball wondering, you know, what the Cubs are waiting for, why they seem to be unwilling to spend. You mentioned the Dodgers. You see the Angels going out and making moves. But this was a clip that we had from about a month ago with John Heyman talking to the Mully and Haw show in the morning. And, you know, this is really, when I heard this, you know, I think a lot of Cub fans were shaking their heads in agreement.
I agree. We've been saying this on the show forever, right? I mean, the Cubs' revenues are high. They're not the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers, but certainly in the top five or six teams in terms of revenue. You know, I think it's time to spend. You know, it's enough of this mediocrity, and they've got to get going. And it's in a decent free agent crop, you know, whether it be Alonso and they move Bush to second and trade Horner, or whether they go for one of the top pitchers, Max Fried, Corbin Burns. There are a lot of good pitchers that are out there, and including those two number one type pitchers. So, you know, it's time for the Cubs to spend some of that profit. I would agree. I mean, he probably said it more subtly and nicer than me, but time to get going for the Cubs because they do not spend their profits.
I think maybe that should be the hashtag this year instead of Fly the W or whatever that you have to see it, whatever the little slogan, we can put that as the hashtag for the Cubs next year. They don't spend their profits.
They're still paying for all that concrete, Crowley. They're still paying for all that concrete. You don't understand.
A hell of a lot of concrete.
You don't understand how expensive concrete is.
Well, you take a look here as far as revenue. This is 2023. Again, the Cubs are always in the top five or six, okay? Whether you're talking about revenue, whether you're talking about the value of the team, they're roughly right there. It's usually Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, Red Sox. some combination of those four, right? As far as revenue. And so the question, you know, that you got to ask is what's going on? Now, this is recently from a podcast that Jeff Passan was on, and very similar to what Heyman had to say, and equally, I guess, in my opinion, is damning.
How is Tom Ricketts approaching this season? On one hand, the Cubs payroll, I think right now, is around $170 million. So they've clearly got room to spend. But I haven't gotten a sense from people in the industry that they have any inclination to go and give big dollars out this winter. But what the Cubs are lacking at this point is star-level players. They have a bunch of good baseball players. Do they have any great ones, though? And when you don't have great baseball players, can you win championships that way? And you mix that all in with the fact that Jed Hoyer is in the final year of his contract right now, and Craig Counsell is coming off of his first season when the team that he left absolutely stomped him to win the division. Jordan, I see the...
I mean, that is, you know, he's calling it out there, right?
Oh, yeah. And again, that's not... This is something that we've talked about, right? The Cubs have a bunch of really good... above average baseball players, but where's the star? And that's probably why, it's probably part of the reason why they want to trade Cody Bellinger. Because he's paid like a star, but he's not a star.
And then finally, and we brought Bob Nightingale on to talk about this. This was in his most recent USA Today article. The Cubs, whose 2016 era championship window closed abruptly, are a cash cow with one of the largest markets in baseball. Yet instead of negotiating with any of the marquee free agents, they're instead focusing on the mid-market players. They're probably out on Soto, Burns, Fried, and obviously Snell is gone. I mean, okay, no doubt Soto is on a league of their own. $700 million is what we're talking, right? Okay. But what, seriously, Corbin Burns and Max Fried, we can't be in on any of those?
Well, I don't have the answer, but here's the problem. So last night Snell goes, right? So now the other teams that were in on Blake Snell are now in on all these other guys, right? Same thing with Juan Soto. When Juan Soto goes, he only can go to one team. And so if the Cubs don't get ahead of a team, teams that are willing to spend or planning to spend are going to jump ahead of them, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly.
Absolutely. And you know, the Cubs are going to kind of just, I feel like they're going to sit back. I know Jed talked about that earlier. And, you know, my question, Dustin, is would Jed Hoyer, you know, he's a punching bag for a lot of the fans, but would he be making the same moves if his owner was Steve Cohen or Hal Steinbrenner or John Middleton of the Phillies, right? Would he, is he not inclined to give out big contracts? Is it something that, you know, he doesn't stomach very well? Because I will tell you, remember when Theo was here, you know, it didn't feel to me like there was that fear of a big contract. I mean, is this, I guess, let's say Jed Hoyer was hired by Steve Cohen of the Mets, right? Would he be afraid to sign Pete Alonso to a big deal extension?
I think that's an unanswerable question, right? I mean, if money were no object, I guess, why wouldn't you? Now you could say, well, that's not what I believe in fundamentally, but your owner, when your owner is Steve Cohen, Jed, spend my money. It's okay. I want to win now. I don't want to wait.
Well, here's the thing though.
Oh, Jed, now you have different marching orders. You have different marching orders. And what is, where's Jed Hoyer's resume? Okay. His resume, it's good, but it's attached to Theo, right? His resume is attached to Theo. So it's not like he's done something so special with his brand of doing things that he can say, just tap the brakes, Mr. Owner. I got this.
Well, you know, when we talk about Theo, the Cubs were most aggressive. Obviously, they went through that rebuild 2011 to 2014, right? And then 2015 and 16, they signed John Lester, Jason Hayward, Ben Zobrist, Joe Madden. In 2017, 18 offseason, they signed Yu Darvish, right? And the Cubs were even the only non-West Coast team that Shohei Ohtani agreed to meet with. So I just felt like in that time period, let's say 2015 to 2018, they were willing to go ahead and talk with every free agent, and every rumor seemed that they were in on it, right? Some of them panned out, some of them didn't. but they were in on it. They were brought up in all of these things. Who do you hear them being brought up with for this offseason?
Well, one name, and that's the Japanese pitcher. That's what I've heard, right? That's what I've heard. But I've heard the Dodgers are still in on him. I don't know how in the world that happens, but they're supposedly still in on him.
And the Padres and the Red Sox and Toronto and the Giants. You keep hearing the same four or five teams, but the Cubs really aren't in any of those conversations.
Right. That's the only one I've heard. That's the only one I've heard that they're interested in.
Right. And so I just remember for me, my first offseason of concern was 2018-19, right? Cubs lost the division in game 163 versus the Brewers 3-1. They only scored one run. Mm-hmm. Then they lost the wild card to the Rockies 2-1 in 13 innings. And that's when Theo makes his famous quote. He said, you know, I think part of the way, you know, here's where I am about the offense. And I mean this with no disrespect to any of our players. I respect them all greatly in every way. But I think part of getting better is facing the problem. And our offense broke somewhere along the lines. And so, of course, there's going to be a thorough examination. Of course, we're going to spend our energy trying to fix it and fixing it. So that's what he had to say at that point in time. Theo, offense is broken. Very famous quote. But then we got to the 18-19 offseason, right? Right after losing that wild card game. You still have all these great players, but it was clear that Jason Hayward wasn't the player they thought they would sign, right? And they stuck with it. They stuck with him the entire time, no matter how bad he was, pretty much through his entirety of his contract. But I looked at all the top free agents, right? The top 10 free agents. This was MLB trade rumors. In 2018-19, there was Michael Brantley, J.A. Happ, A.J. Pollock, Nate Eovaldi, who's on the market again, Yasmani Grandal, Craig Kimbrell, Dallas Keuchel, Patrick Corbin. But the two big ones were Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. So you could have gotten Bryce Harper to play right field instead of Jason Hayward and make Jason Hayward the most expensive backup outfielder, right? Or you could have had him play center field at that point in time. You had Manny Machado. Maybe you could have moved Chris Bryant to right field and played Manny Machado at third. You had all of that, right? The only move the Cubs made after declaring that the offense was broken was signing Daniel Descalso and Brad Brock. The team finished 84-78 that season, finished in third place in Joe Maddon's fire, right? Then in 2019-2020 in the offseason, they let Nick Castellanos, who the Cubs acquired at the trade deadline, they let him leave for free agency, right? In 51 games in 2019, Castellanos hit .321, 16 home runs, 36 RBIs, and they just let him walk away again.
Yep.
You know? And so there was a lot of great free agents in that class: Zach Wheeler, Steven Strasburg, Anthony Rendon, Garrett Cole, and Castellanos himself, Madison Bumgarner. But you never heard the Cubs in on any of those guys. None of them.
Nope.
And so the big offseason signing of the 2019-2020 season was Steven Souza. Remember that one? And so 2020 was the COVID year, is goofy, weird playoff structure. They went 34-26. They won the division by 3 games, but I mean, like, that's not real baseball. You know what I mean? So they were number 3 seed in the new expanded postseason for that year. And they were swept by the Marlins in the first round of the playoffs. I was on a rooftop for that. That was the last time the Cubs have been in the postseason. Now, Dustin, 2020-21 offseason, Theo resigns, and on November 17th, they non-tendered Kyle Schwarber, probably the biggest mistake that they make.
But big-time mistake.
They passed on another weak free agent class, nothing I was really upset about: Ha-Sung Kim, DJ LeMahieu, Marcelo Ozuna, George Springer, JT Realmuto, Trevor Bauer. But they didn't do anything big. They signed Jock Peterson, Matt Duffy, and Austin Romaine. None of these are like earth-shattering moves to make the team better. And that was in 2021 season that the Cubs started ripping it down, right? Trade Yu Darvish before the season starts. Jock Peterson was the first to go, then Chafin, then Rizzo, and then Baez and Bryant. And the window is shut. And now we're in the middle of the second rebuild in a decade. And so the Cubs finished 71-91 to finish in fourth place, 24 games out of fourth place. So, you know, that was just, okay, what is it? Rebuild, retool, don't know. Top 10 free agents in 21-22, Nick Castellanos, Max Scherzer, Trevor Story, Robert Ray, Marcus Semien, Kevin Gausman, Chris Bryant. How about the top 3? Freddie Freeman, Corey Seager, and Carlos Correa. And they get none in the top 10 on that one. But Freddie Freeman is the one. You let Chris Bryant go, I mean, wow, that would have been a nice pickup. The Cubs did come close, though, to signing a top 10 free agent. Marcus Stroman was ranked 11th that season, and the Cubs signed him to a 3-year, $71 million deal with an opt-out after the second year. And that, Dustin, is the kind of deal that Jed's comfortable making. No long-term commitment, doesn't break the bank, and the guy can opt out, right? But you're not going to get the Corbin Burns for that kind of deal. You're not. Now, I said on my wish list I wanted Walker Buehler. He's a guy that you could get for that type of deal this year, and I think he's most likely to come to the Cubs. But again, you know, what else did they do? They also, that offseason, got Yan Gomes, David Robertson, and Clint Frazier. You remember that one?
Yep.
They finished 74-88. That was our first season broadcasting. They're third place in the Central. Now, in 2022-23, they finally signed a top 10 free agent. That was this class of Wilson Contreras, Brandon Nimmo, Justin Verlander, Jacob deGrom, Carlos Rodon, Dansby Swanson at number 5, Xander Bogaerts, Trey Turner, Carlos Correa, and Aaron Judge. So the Cubs got the 5th best free agent, but he was the fourth best shortstop, right? He was all glove, not a big offensive guy. The guy I wanted was Trey Turner. That was number 1 on my list. But again, they went cheap there, Dustin. They went the cheapest they could as far as shortstops are concerned. And so, like, when the Cubs' offense isn't clicking, you can't look at Dansby Swanson and be like, this is the guy that's going to carry us.
Right, right. No, you're right. Listen, you are correct. You and I are – there's not going to be any arguing between you and I on this one.
Right. They also that season signed Jameson Taillon, Eric Hosmer, Trey Mancini, and then took a flyer on Cody Bellinger, who was one of the worst players since 2020. He was just injured all the time, no good. That worked out. Bellinger had a resurgence season, won comeback player of the year. Cubs finished with a record of 83-79, second in the NL Central, one game out of the postseason. So there you are in 20, you know, close to the playoffs in 23. 24 was supposed to be playoffs or bust this last season. They signed 2 top 10 free agents. Jody Managua is number 10, and that was a steal, Dustin. 5 years, $85 million contract. But look what you have there again. You have a deal that's not a huge, big risk, right? Five years, $85 million. You know, did you expect to have a Cy Young type season from Jody Managua? No.
No.
I don't think anyone expected that. So that you lucked out, but you're not always going to luck out on that. See Tyler Chatwood, right? But he was, you know, they also signed Cody Bellinger, who was ranked number 2, 3 years, $80 million, 2 opt-outs. It is a lot of money, but it's not a long-term deal. It's a 3-year deal. And then, of course, Shohei got that monster contract. But despite that monster year from Shota, the Cubs finished with an identical 83-79 record. They finished 6 games out of the final wild card spot. So, Dustin, here we are. Top 10 offseason free agents right now are Sean Manaea, Anthony Santander, Jack Flaherty, Pete Alonso, Max Fried, Willie Adames, Blake Snell, Alex Bregman, Corbin Burns, and Juan Soto being the top. But according to John Heyman, 7 teams called to inquire about Soto. The Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Red Sox, Giants, even the Rays. The Cubs didn't pick up the phone. I mean, I get you want to spread it around. I know you've said that, right? Like, you'd rather spread it around than put it.
Well, I mean, I want to spread around $500 million, $600 million. That's what I want to spread around.
Right. And so, you know, Blake Snell is out right there, but I'm trying to figure out, you know, right now it feels to me like the Cubs are operating on the Ricketts as far as a cap. We don't want to go much above the tier one level. So that's roughly about what, $215 million? And so, you know, like roughly $230 million, I would say. But, you know, when you're in a sport where there's no cap, football, basketball, you know, hockey, you have a cap. You cannot spend what you want. And so, I don't think the Ricketts are very comfortable going above $230 million. And so, for me, I just feel like they are going to try to be under the cap for this season. I don't think they're going to go over $234. So, you know, are they going to try to defer something? Are they going to kind of just go with the more of the smaller mid-tier guys like Walker Buehler, like Jack Flaherty? And again, offensively, where are the Cubs going to go? Now, that to me is the question. I just wonder.
I think that's part of why Cody Bellinger's in the mix, because they need a bopper, and Cody's not a bopper. He's okay, but he's not a bopper, right? They need a bopper. And I think the money that they're giving him could be spent on that bopper potentially.
And so then the question is, but that's the other issue as far as what Bob Nightingale brought up, is the issue right now. It says the worst kept secret at the GM meetings was the Cubs offering Bellinger to anyone and everyone. No team has expressed strong interest. Come on, one GM said. Who's going to touch that contract? The risk is too great for the production. So, again, if the Cubs are going to get rid of Bellinger, they're going to have to eat half that contract.
Well, or they're going to or they're going to have to probably overpay in prospect capital, right?
Does any of that make you comfortable?
Well, I mean, here's one of the trades I heard. Okay. And I don't have the second player from the Blue Jays, but it was Shaw, Bellinger, and Bush for Vlad and a pitcher from the
it was Kevin Gausman.
Okay. What do you think of that?
There's a couple things that have me a little bit concerned, and that is the question of whether you're willing to sign him because you only have 1 year. You only have one year of
Vlad's got only left is 2025.
Right. And so you're telling me you're going to give all of that for 1 year, 1 year on that. I'm not really comfortable. I get it. We're all going to throw around trades, but that one,
I'm just saying like there is no flexibility. And Nico, when the season ended, Nico was looked at as a flexibility piece. There's no flexibility there. Why you can't get rid of Nico right now. You'd be giving him away. He's at his lowest trade value ever.
Yeah,
because of the injury. So I'm saying I don't think that's a real option.
Yeah, and again, you know, that's yeah, and the actual trade was Guerrero and Gausman for Bush, Bellinger, and Cade Horton, which is way worse.
That's worse. I thought it was for Shaw.
No, but again, either one, even if you tell me Shaw, you know, it's a struggle. You
well,
know,
well, I mean, you know. Horton, no. Horton, it's a hard no. No. Mm-mm. No. Bush, you could talk me into. Because you give yourself, listen, what's Vlad Guerrero making this year? You know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but he's going to make probably about, let's say, 7 to 8. I'll take a look really quick. But
I'm looking it up right now. It's 7 or 8 million? Really,
I don't, because he's tier 3 free agent or
arbitration. That would be shocking to me. I mean, that seems like
maybe more like 13, 14, I would say. But either way, for one year, that to me just doesn't seem like worth it. I would be more concerned about that.
All right.
That would be my concern. So 2025.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, do you have 28 million
is what they're thinking. 28 million.
Thinking in the future.
That's the estimate. He's got to be arbitration.
And Bellinger, you owe him 60 million?
No, this next year, Vlad Guerrero is going to make 28 million. And so it's almost going to be even money.
Okay. It's a push. Right.
Right. So it's even money, but losing either Cade Horton or Matt Shaw to me would be almost like a deal breaker. I just, either of those guys are really, really
tough. I guess the question is, so Soto and Snell are not options, and I never thought either one was. How is the Fly the W podcast helping to fix the Cubs problems? What are you doing?
You know, we had our wish list, and my wish list is still pretty stuck on.
Those guys are still out there, right? A lot of those guys are still out there.
A lot of those guys. The one move that I would make.
The two big names that are gone, you know, were never a possibility anyway.
Well, I didn't want Blake Snell because I wasn't into, again, a lefty. That was my thing, and so that was my thinking on Blake Snell, lefty and older. I wanted a righty, and I wanted someone below 33, right? But I would say that for me, if you could get Willie Adames and put him at third base or, you know, and then move Paredes or, you know, I'm not somebody that's all that, like if Paredes was on the bench, I know it'd be expensive, but I would deal with that. I would deal with the Paredes being on a bench. If you're telling me I could have Willie Adames who played for Council in Milwaukee and get some power numbers that way, that would be my ideal move right now. Yeah. And then obviously getting a number one pitcher. I still like Walker Buehler. That to me,
I
is
like
still,
Max Fried. I like Max Fried, right?
I get a little nervous with his injury history and stuff like that. I would, here's the thing. Paredes is going to make $6.5 million. I can live with that on the bench. If you're telling me I can get Willy Adames, I could live with that. So that to me is a move that you can make. There's other moves you can make.
So he's develop. Your utility. He's becomes your utility infielder.
Right. And again, then taking a look at bullpen and starters. But when you talk about position players, if you can tell me we can get Adames and a top tier pitcher, I think that would be a very successful, doable offseason plan.